Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio Live with Dr. Pat Holliday. This is Dr. Sabrina and Dr. and Brother Marshall will be joining us shortly. We want to thank you for coming up on this worship service broadcast on this Friday evening to hear the Word of God, to receive ministry, to learn about your faith, to be edified in the things of Christ. We give the Lord praise, glory, and honor for you, and we welcome you. We want you to know that this is not just a radio broadcast. This is a worship service. This is our Friday evening worship service. The offering is being received at www.miracleinternetchurch.com. And as we proceed in the service this evening, we pray that you will consider inviting a friend over to join you and to listen. They will receive much from this broadcast and learn things that they might not be able to learn elsewhere. We pray that you are blessed as we proceed, and let us go now before the throne of God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we humbly come before you, and we thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the honor and the privilege of serving you in this life. We thank you, Father, that we serve the true and living God, and beside you there is no another. You are true and you are faithful. You are our anchor. You are the chief cornerstone. You're the open door. You're the living water that we seek. So we thank you and we give you praise for all that you will do here tonight. We, your people, have come thus assembled to give praise and honor and glory to your name. We thank you, Lord, that there is none like you. You are high and lifted up, and your train yet fills the temple. We thank you, Father, for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is our Savior, our Redeemer, and our Advocate. We give you praise, glory, and honor that he is the dayspring of this life. He is the light of the world. He is the living Word. We thank you for everything that Jesus is to us. We thank you, Father, that we have no need to want because the Lord is indeed our shepherd. We thank you, Father, for providing everything that we need. We thank you that you are our healer. We thank you that you lead us and guide us through the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we are protected by your very presence, that you surround us. We thank you that you lead us into battle. We thank you, Lord God, that you are ever present with us. We thank you, Lord God, that there is none like you. So, Father, we thank you. We give you praise and we invite you into this worship service to come and dwell in our midst. You say when two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in our midst. Father, we have far more than two or three. So we invite you to come and dwell in our midst and do what only you can do. We yield and surrender this worship service to you, Father, and we thank you for what you have planned for us this evening. We thank you for the ministration of the word. We thank you for the ministry. We thank you for the exhortation. We thank you for the prayer request and the testimonies and the praise reports. We thank you for it all, Father, in Jesus' name. From our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that you gave us, Lord, a place that you gave us in heavenly places, we take authority, dominion, and power, power that you extend to those of us who believe you, over all the works of darkness, over the technology spirits, and over the works of every witch, every warlock, every sorcerer and every diviner and the like. We bind, cage, and chain their works in Jesus' name. Father, you declare in your word that you remove evil from the earth. We thank you for that word, and we thank you that you do execute it daily. You are the righteous judge. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the word, the wealth of the riches of your word. We thank you for the open book of revelation that you give to us, Father, that we might know the things that are surely to come to pass. We thank you, Father, that fear and terror is far from us, for we find safety and security in your word. We thank you for your leading and for your guiding. We thank you for undergirding us with your truth. We thank you for the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Father, for this life and the life that you have given us here on this earth. We thank you, Father, for all those that will give into the offering this evening, Father. We ask that you bless them abundantly. Bless them, Father, wherever they have in need. Bless them with abundant life in Jesus Christ. We release these blessings on the givers, Father, now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the outpouring of their love and their concern for your ministry and your kingdom through the offering, Father, in Jesus' name. We want to thank you, Father, for all those that you called into intercession for this ministry on behalf of the ministers and those who receive ministry here at Blog Talk with Dr. Pat Holliday. We thank you, Father, for the ministering angels that come to minister on our behalf, Father, as we go forth in spiritual warfare. We give you praise, glory, and honor for their work, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that it's another manifestation of your wisdom and your love for us. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. We humble ourselves before you because your love for us is so vast and so great. We thank you, Father, for healing those in our family that are suffering affliction in their bodies in Jesus' name. We ask, Father, that you use these circumstances to draw them closer to yourself and to teach them how great and how glorious and how powerful you really are and how much you really do love them, especially when Jesus shed his blood on Calvary to remit their sins, Father. We thank you for the forgiveness of sin. We thank you for healing. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for every blessing and every grace that you have given us. We thank you for favor with men, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you that you noise us abroad in the highways and byways of life with the blood speaking on our behalf, Father. We thank you and we give you glory and honor for all that you will do this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Dr. Sabrina's here.
Praise the Lord for that.
Yes, and how are you doing, Dr. Sabrina?
I am blessed. I am just blessed.
You're very, very blessed.
Yes, I am. I had the privilege of sharing a little treat with someone today,
yeah.
And that was my opportunity to give to someone else that needed a little cheering up,
yeah,
and it truly cheered them up.
Well, it does, because you know Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And he knows when somebody has a need, right?
Amen. He knows everything about us.
Yes, we're going to talk about angelic supernatural power tonight. And, you know, we're living in the time where there's a false move of God. That is God with a little g, is moving throughout the world with a spirit of Kundalini, and this spirit is the king of hell. And his workers are fallen angels. And because of lack of Bible training and teaching, pastors and leaders in America, many of them have lost their foundations. And there's a scripture that says, if you lose your foundation, what will you do? What's a nation to do? Well, you see in our country and around the world, Christianity has lost its foundation in many areas and in many places. And so we as Christians, we must begin to understand that we're living in a time that just before Jesus comes, things are going to be falling apart. The world is setting up to receive their Messiah, which is the Antichrist. many of your, well, you know, your Jews are ready to receive the Antichrist. Most of your religions in the world are looking for a Christ to return. And, of course, Christianity is looking for the Antichrist to rise. That's right. But, you see, that's not really what the Bible tells us to do. I mean, we're supposed to be aware as we keep aware of these things. But we must always keep our eyes on the ball. And, of course, in our case, the ball is Jesus, right?
Amen.
And his word. And so instead of looking for the Antichrist, we are looking for the return of Jesus Christ. And we're looking for him to make his appearance in the sky and take his church out. When that's going to happen, we don't exactly know. Some people say it's going to happen before the tribulation period. Other people say, no, that's going to happen at the end of the tribulation period. And some of them believe in the mid-tribulation period. Some of them believe mid-tribulation period because there's a scripture that says their souls in the Revelation, that there's souls that are crying out to God, how much longer, Lord? And you see, the reason that I, and I'm not turning to that scripture right now, I'm just talking from memory, but you see the, let me just talk about those two scriptures from memory, of course, the one about the catching away in 2 Thessalonians, and the one where the souls are crying out, how much longer, Lord? Well, you see, the one in 2 Thessalonians, it tells us that that the graves will open. That, well, first it tells you that the Lord will appear in the clouds or in the air. And the Greek for the word that's used in that place means the clouds just above the earth is what it really means coming out of the Greek. And then it says the graves will open and the dead in Christ will come out and they'll go into heaven. Their bodies will meet the Lord in the air. And then it says, you look that scripture up for me, Dr. Sabrina. She's looking. It's in 2 Thessalonians, I think, 4. But anyway, I don't like to give out addresses when I'm talking by memory because then they'll think I'm a false prophet. So I always tell you that I'm talking from memory now. And so the dead in Christ rises to meet the Lord in the air. And that is just above the clouds is what that word means coming out of the Greek. And then it says, we who are alive will rise and meet the Lord in the air. And so that shows that their bodies are coming out of the grave and meeting the Lord in the air. But then over in Revelation, after the tribulation has started, there's a group of people and they're crying out, how much longer, Lord? And their souls are up underneath the altar. And they're waiting for the end to come. Well, you see, that's what the difference is. The group that meet the Lord in the air, both the dead and the alive, their bodies leave the earth and they go and meet the Lord in the sky where their bodies at that moment will also meet their spirit. And that's when they get their eternal bodies. And yes, we're going to have an eternal body And this body that was originally made to be eternal will at that moment become an eternal body with your spirit. And so the dead in Christ, they are up under the altar. You see, they haven't met the Lord in the air yet. They haven't been able to unite with Jesus yet. Now, what my Bible teacher that used to teach on end times told us was that those are the souls from the ones that missed the rapture of the church. And they went on into the tribulation. And when they went into the tribulation period, they realized, hey, we're Christians. The Bible's true. The Word is true. And many of them are going to call out to Jesus and ask Him to forgive them. And Jesus is a forgiving, merciful God, and He will forgive them. But the tribulation period, the tribulation is there for the Jew. And the reason that it's there for the Jew is because the Jew rejected Jesus as their Messiah. They totally rejected Him, both when He was alive and after He died. Now, when He was alive, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which were the Babylonian mixture of Judaism, even in those days, they would come out and spy on Jesus to try to trap Him, to entrap Him, so that they could get rid of Him. And they rejected Him totally. After the resurrection, the disciples, the Bible in the book of Acts says that they went and knocked on every door in Jerusalem. And they were rejected, and added to the rejection was persecution. And they were pushed out of Jerusalem into the world. And that's when God opened the door for the Gentiles to become believers, and He gave us grace and grafted us into the tree, which symbolizes Judaism, belief in God. And so we are God's chosen people now. So that's the way it was all explained to me when I was a baby Christian. And really and truthfully, I've studied some of the other, you know, the mid-tribs and the end of the tribs, and I really am sold out on the pre-trib. But as I told Marshall the other night up on the air, I don't reject anybody because of their stance on the tribulation period and the rapture, as long as they don't accuse us of going to hell because we don't believe, because we believe in the rapture, and the Bible clearly shows it. It's very well founded in the Bible. So we're talking tonight, and we're going to talk about angelic supernatural power. And you see what a lot of people dismiss, because a lot of us were raised in Christianity, but it was Christianity without being joined to Jesus and the supernatural and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so you get a lot of strange doctrines flying all around when somebody's trying to teach the Word from their own mind, and for what they think it says, they can twist and turn in the Gospels, because the devil can easily take control of their minds. So that's why you have so many denominations and so many ideas about what the Gospel has to say. But I believe that if somebody will just ask Jesus Christ to save them and to fill them with the Holy Spirit, and then dedicate their lives to Him, the Holy Spirit, according to John chapter 14 and 16, he becomes your teacher and he leads you, he becomes your guide, and he leads you into all truth. And I believe that there is a remnant church that's very much alive in the world today. We might not know where they are or who they are, but some of them are underground in the communistic countries where they're slaughtered, which, by the way, people are being slaughtered every day in masses because of belief in the name of Jesus. And, you know, Jesus spoke of the times of the perilous times shall come in Matthew 24. And he spoke of perilous times and also the times of sorrow. And I believe these are the times that we're living in right now. We're living in the times of sorrow where people are being persecuted for their faith. And you know, when communism hit the land of Russia, the first thing they did is they began to dismantle the Russian Orthodox Church, and they turned its pastors into communists, and the pastors were used to report on the people. Well, you know, a lot of Christians in America don't realize, but some of the big mega churches have been engaged with the government for money. They give them money for their various projects. And when you receive the money, then you're indebted to the government. And so do you remember when George Bush started something that he called faith-based?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what that was about? It was engaging the Christian church to connect with the government. And so they actually have pastors today that have agreed that when that time comes, that they will tell their people to get on the buses. Well, when you get on the buses, nobody hears from you anymore. And let me tell you something. People are already disappearing when they have these disasters, you know, storms and fires and things. They take them and put them on a bus, and then they take them to a stadium or a ballpark, and in 2 or 3 days, they're gone, and nobody knows where they are. So things are happening secretively in America already. But that's going down a little rabbit trail. I didn't mean to go there. Forgive me, Lord. But angels do have supernatural power. And angels have supernatural powers that if you follow an angel instead of following Jesus, you're going to go into deception. There is no question about that. And, you know, Todd Bentley was an angel follower, as was Paul Bob Jones, who recently died. And they were angel followers. And they Todd Bentley believed that an angel called Emma O directed his ministry. And the Lord told me to go and do some research on that. A lot of you may not be knowledgeable to know that I uncovered Todd Bentley. I was the very first person in the country that the Lord began to show me stuff about all of this. And he said, go do some research on MIO. And when I did the research, well, MIO turns out in Eastern religious doctrines to be the king of hell with a twin sister who's the queen of hell. And so here they are. With the king, and his angel was a woman angel called M.O., guiding the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever he went out to, came here in Florida, and he went over to Lakeland, Florida, 10,000 people a night used to show up from all over the world, which was a mass delusion. that came upon Christians back in those times, in those days. And do you know that in my hometown, all of the big mega churches packed buses full of people and sent them over to let this demonic man lay his hands upon their people, their Christian people, and fill them with demons of alcohol, seduction, kundalini spirits, false religion, and sex, and adultery, and every ungodly devil that you can think of in the world. And many of the pastors went up there and got a dose of it for themselves. And so the end result of all of that was a mass delusion that was released into the Christian churches at one time. And so Jesus said that if you don't follow him and you go after another God, you're going to come under a mass delusion. And that's what we're looking at in a lot of your Christian churches today, is the pastor is deluded and so are the people. Now, if you want to read some of those articles that I wrote, you'll learn a lot just by recasting them. You'll find them up on patholiday.com. They're also up on miracleinternetchurch.com. And you can also find them up on remnantradio.org. There must be 500 news articles or newsletters that I have written over the last years. And so, but you can find them. And so whenever a person follows an angel, instead of following the Word of God, the King James Version, Jesus Christ as the center of the Word, they're going to get in trouble. And they're going to follow after another spirit. And they will come into what is known as a transformation. Now, what does a transformation mean? The word means a shift. In the New Age movement, what that word means is a qualitative change, a transfer from the original spiritual tenets to switch over to a new religious belief system. Now, in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, the Apostle Paul forewarned the church to watch out for Satan's infiltrating agents when he wrote, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not received, you may well bear with him." So in other words, what those scriptures are telling us, there is coming, and there was in his day too, they were called Judaizers in his day, people trying to bring people back under the law. Well, in our day, they're infiltrators, and there are so many names until, goodness, I can't name them all. But he said that they preach another Jesus, another gospel, by another spirit. And he said, and ye might bear with him. Well, you see, that means, and you will join him if you listen to him. And then the Bible tells us to beware of false prophets. Sadly, Christians are falling into traps of Satan through trust of wealthy, prominent, religious men and women who no longer preach Jesus Christ in the Bible. And they don't preach the real Bible. I remember Kenneth Hagin, for instance, put out a Bible called The Poor Man's Bible. And then, whenever the what did they call that? The Amplified Bible came out. His ministry and all of the faith people started pushing the Amplified version of the Bible. And Joyce Myers even had one printed with all of her little notes in it. And so you will be deceived if you follow after false prophets, because that's what they're there for. And they have not been sanctified through the washing of the blood of Jesus. Or if they have, they've fallen away. Their faith centers on Christian icons instead of Jesus Christ and his purpose of giving them salvation to enter into his kingdom. He never taught us to seek a kingdom on this earth. That is calling all religions to come into all religious unity. No, he said you must be separated. He said, because I am the way, the light, and the truth. And no one comes to the Father except by me. That's right. And then in Romans 10:17, he said, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the reason that we teach you faith and teach you what the word of God says before we go into our ministry part is because we want to upgird you so that you have faith to believe that God can do it for you too. Now in Romans 12, verse 2, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now, you see, if you're in all of the perverse Bibles, you won't know, because they've taken Jesus, his blood sacrifice, out as the center of the Bible and replaced it with there's nothing wrong with being a homosexual and other insane doctrines. And so we need to understand that angels are real and they work with people, but they don't work with people like you are supposing that they work with people. You know, the Bible says that God has an army of hosts. It's called the armies of heaven. And the armies of heaven are on your side. And that's what you've always got to remember. Now, you remember in 2 Kings 6, that whole chapter, but we're looking at verse 14-17. Whenever Elisha, he was standing on a mountainside, and he was with his servant, and there was an army that had come from Dothan, and they were there to slay the man of God. That was what their purpose was. The king told them that they had to come and kill the man of God because he couldn't win the battles, because Elisha knew everything that was going on in the enemy camp, and so he was able to direct his king, and his king was just winning every battle. And so the astrologers came before the king, and he said, look, there's a man of God. And I think he was over in Dothan, from memory. And he said, he knows what we're doing, and he's telling his king. So they sent the army. The king sent the army to kill the man of God. That's what their purpose was for there. And that's all just trying to put it in common words so that a lot of you can understand it. Because if you can understand Pat Holliday, who's from the South, you can understand anything. Right, Dr. Sabrina?
I'll agree with you today.
And you know, I was thinking about today, Dr. Sabrina, when I was thinking about this sermon tonight. You know, if you copy somebody else's writings, and if they speak, if they don't speak good grammar, and you copy their writings, you think that they know, and then from then on you copy what you saw them do, you're not going to be grammatically correct.
Ever.
Well, the same principle goes, if you copy these charlatans and these false prophets and prophetesses with what they say, you're always going to walk in unbelief and doubt and strong delusions, because they're not following the Word of God either. Because you see, grandma, it has books on grammar that you have to sit and study to be properly versed in grammar, which I'm not, by the way. My Ph.D. and Ph.D. was in the Bible, and so I'll be the first to admit that I'm just a plain old Southern country girl. Well, I'm sort of like a city girl. I lived in Jacksonville, Florida, mm-hmm. if you can call that a city, right, Dr. Sabrina?
Well, it's a city now. It wasn't so much a city back then.
It wasn't a city back then. It was like a little village. And so Elisha is standing on the top of the mountain, waiting on the adversary to come. And he was waiting there to face him, to face them. Because he knew that he had superior power, because he knew the Word of God. And he knew Elijah's life demonstrated beyond a power of a doubt that God's power was sufficient for his servants and above all of the power of the enemy. And so he's standing there waiting on them. And they show up, and the servant gets in a tizzy, just to prove I'm a Southerner. Have you ever heard that word, Dr. Sabrina?
Yes, quite often.
Isn't that a Southern word?
Yes.
What does it mean?
More like an uproar.
They get all upset and worried and...
Fretting.
Fretting, yeah.
That the scripture tells us not to do.
Well, now, isn't it simpler to just say they got in a tizzy?
Southerners think so.
But if you have to teach people what a tizzy is, maybe it isn't, right?
Maybe so.
Well, anyway, the servant got in a tizzy because of the fact he couldn't see supernaturally and spiritually. And see, 99% of your church people can't see anything, can't discern anything, don't know the Word of God, just sailing along this life. This time God answers the prayer, but next time he doesn't. Well, why would God answer the prayer this time and next time he doesn't? There's got to be a reason for that. God is a God that he is not a man that he cannot lie. I mean, that he can lie. And so, why would God do something this time, and then the next time you come before the throne and say, sorry, kid, I'm not going to answer that one. Well, see, if God's not answering it, that means that you've got to push and go into the Word and find out, why isn't God answering this prayer? Right, Dr. Sabrina?
That is correct.
And he'll show you why he's not answering it, either in a sermon or in the Word of God. If you seek him, he has to show you the truth. Right, Dr. Sabrina?
That is the truth.
And so he's in a tizzy, the servant, and he's saying, oh my goodness, it's just me and you. And then look down there, and they've got an army coming to destroy us. And the servant was just standing there calmly watching them. And he said to God, he said, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. Now, this is a prayer that we need to incorporate in our prayers when we pray for our families and when we pray for our friends and when we pray for our churches. We need to ask God to open their eyes that they can see. And you know, Jesus said over in the book of Revelation, when he was speaking to those seven churches, he said, you're blinded. You cannot see. He said, ask me for eyesight so that you can see and hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So when we come down on people that don't have any understanding and they call themselves Christians and we get real harsh with them and we say, oh, I'm so angry with them. I told them about the gospel and they just can't understand it. I tell them over and over and I'm just not going to tell them anymore. Well, have you prayed? Have you prayed for their soul? Have you bound up the demons in them so that they can see and hear? Have you asked the Lord to open their eyes to hear? You see, Christianity is a way of learning and thinking and walking with God. It's not your way, it's His way. And so what happened is whenever he said that in 6:14-17, he said, open his eyes that he can see. And then when the servant's eyes was opened, and you see right away God answered his servant Elisha's prayer, the servant's eye was open, and he says, oh my goodness. He said, there be more with us and are more than they that are with them. And you see, there are more with us than there are with them. If you're a Christian, there are more angels surrounding you every minute of the day than there are with the fallen angels trying to get to you. And so you need to understand that you do have angelic protection. And so here's the way the Bible says it. In Matthew 26:52-53. Now we're talking about Jesus speaking right here. He said, God would give him, he said, quote, give me more than 12 legions of angels. Now Jesus was in a battle. And it was the battle where he was going to go and face the cross. He knew what he was going to face. But he was telling his saints, look, if I just cried out to the Father, he would give me 12 legions of angels to rescue me. Now, but I choose to go to the cross to bear the price for my brethren. That's where the sacrifice of the cross comes in that they don't want you to know about. But the part of the scripture that, and I'm paraphrasing this scripture because I'm talking from memory, and Sabrina, Dr. Sabrina's writing them down for you anyway. You can go look them up. But that scripture shows us that Jesus could have called 12 legions of angels. Now, if you remember his temptation, when the devil came to him after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit led him up into the mountains to fast for 40 days. You remember that?
Amen.
And while the devil came at the end of the fast and tempted him. And the devil doesn't know anything about fasting. He didn't realize that fasting makes you stronger to overcome him. So he waited until the end of the fast, and he comes and he tempts Jesus, and he says, Jesus, if you'll follow me and worship me, bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of the world. And the Lord would say to him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And you see, Jesus was quoting Old Testament scriptures when he was announcing or speaking to the devil. And so he was incorporating the power of the Word of God with his word when he resisted the devil. And see, everything Jesus did was a training session for us. All of the scriptures are to train us what we are to do. And what we are to do is we follow him. We don't follow Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland, who's now following the Pope and all of these other nutties. We follow Jesus. And so there was only one that came to tempt him then, and that was, what was that? That was the devil. Well, why didn't the devil come back and try to tempt him again when he was facing the cross? Well, you see, the devil knew that he was strong enough, that who he was, and he could defeat him with his word. So he did not want to suffer. The devil's a very proud individual, and he didn't want to suffer defeat again. So Jesus could call 12 legions of angels. You can cry out in prayer, and you hear us do it all the time. And we'll say, Father, send the angels to protect this person that we've just prayed for, to war against the demons that are warring against this person. Father, send as many angels as they need. We don't know. And what happens, just like when Elisha prayed, the Father answers that prayer immediately and dispatches as many angels on that new Christian or that newly delivered person to war for that person and to help them to gain knowledge and truth in the Word of God. And they're with you whether you know it or not. You might not be able to see them yet, but they're there. Now, in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7, 8, and 21, Hezekiah said, there be more with us than with him. And then God would give me, I messed up there. In other words, this is in the Old Testament scriptures. And this is a prophet of God, and he could see both good angels and he could see the bad angels. So he could see that God had given him more than to be with him than the bad angels that were trying to stand against him. So the good angels would rise up, and of course they would defeat the devil, because according to 1 John 4:4, the Bible says, greater is he, and that he is Jesus, that is in you than he, and that is Satan, that is in the world. So you just don't have to be fearful. You have to know that God is with you. You have anointing, you have power, you have Jesus, you have angels, you have his word, and there's more angels with you than there are with them. In Joshua 1:5, there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee. Now, why? Because there would be more angels standing with Joshua than standing with the other man. Now, in Joshua 23:9-10, the Bible says, one shall chase 1,000, for God fighteth for you. And what's the rest of that scripture? Dr. Sabrina?
I'm down here with another one you gave me.
Yeah, you're right. One shall chase a thousand.
Oh, and two shall put 10,000 to flight.
So, in other words, that's why we join each other in prayer when we're in battle. If my faith is weak, then I call Dr. Sabrina or Brother Marshall or Pastor Dennis, and I'll say, would you get in agreement with me in prayer? And we come into one accord and agreement, and then we can chase those devils away. If one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. And so also in Matthew 18:18, whatsoever you shall bind on earth, when two of you are binding those devils on the earth, and then in verse 10, you're loosening the power of God to move, then in verse 19, Matthew 18, 19, it says, where two of you shall agree. That's why Marshall, when he prays for you, he said, are we in agreement? And me and Dr. Sabrina will say, yes, we're in agreement. And that means all of you need to say, yes, we're in agreement. That's where the power of God is. Amen?
Yes, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So you actually have to open your mouth and say something from time to time. You can't just say, oh, it's in my heart. No, the Bible says you have to open your mouth and confess the word of God.
And Dr. Sabrina, you remember when Jesus told them to all go up to the upper room and wait for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Well, they all went up there, and they're waiting on the Holy Spirit to come. But the Bible says one little line there that is very important. It says, and they were all in one accord. And then after the Holy Spirit came, the Bible made note, and the power was so great that the whole building shook. And so it's when Christians get in one accord that we can shake the world. And that's why we started this, that we started this program, because of the fact that we're in one accord. When we're up here, we're agreeing.
Amen.
In 2 Chronicles 16:8-9, a huge host came, because thou didst not rely on the Lord. He delivered them into thine hands. And so you see that particular scripture, and I want you to read it for yourself. I'm not giving you the whole scriptures, but it shows you that when you're disobedient to the Lord, that's when the devil can send his host, his fallen angels, to you to make you fall. Right?
That's correct.
And so I want to get on with this a little bit more before I had another scripture marked. But Jesus is able to send his host to you when you call out for them. And he's able to protect you whenever you're able to call out to him. And I've got a folded page here. And so the Bible tells us that he can warn your enemies to not hurt you. In Genesis 31:22-24, verse 29, God warned Laban in a dream to do no harm to Jacob. So Jesus Christ is living in you, and he has a whole bunch of angels that are looking over you at all times to protect you. So you need not to be fearful. But the reason that people are fearful is because of the slumbering believers. You hear me talking about the sleeping giant? Well, in Psalms 1, verses 1 through 6, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." You know, those roots go very, very deep. "That bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. Therefore, the shall not stand in the nor the sinner in the congregation of righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of righteousness, but the way of ungodly shall perish." And so Psalm chapter 1 tells you that you have to either serve God or you serve the devil. And if you serve God, you've got protection. And if you serve the devil, you have no protection. And if you serve God, you're not going to perish. And so the Bible tells us that we as Christians must have an active life with Jesus. We must visit the throne. We must see that Jesus is right there every single day of the moment of hours. And the reason that he's there is so that the devil cannot get advantage over us in spiritual warfare, according to Corinthians 2:11. And Satan's strategy, of course, is to rob the church of its authority and take the glory from Jesus Christ and breaking down the saints. And many church leaders are alive to the issue of spiritual authority. They're right through the Word of God to take back what Satan has stolen. And they are attacking Satan and defending the faith that was once delivered to the saints. But also at the same time, there are many false prophets that the devil has planted into the church. And Jesus warned Matthew 24:24, for false Christ and false prophets shall arise and will show great signs, wonders, as to deceive and lead astray, if possible, as many of the elect. Remember, if you sell out to Jesus, read his word carefully. Discern and watch what is being taught to you. You will not be deceived. The Holy Spirit is quite able to lead you into all truth. But if you don't, the Bible warns us that the false ministers come with great lying signs and wonders. And it foretold of the Antichrist to rise to power. And the Bible said, such false ministers employ great power. But it will be the paranormal power of the occult that will be exercised. And it will be there for the express purpose of leading Christians away. And so we don't want to get under the transformation of this New Age church that has been developed right under our noses. We need to remember that since there is a large company of ministers, C. Peter Wagner is one of them, the Todd Bentley, Rick Joyner, Patricia King. There's just scads of them, and they have taken their faith and distributed it down into the local areas, to the various pastors. And so now that leaven has polluted the whole lump. And this is why you have to ask Jesus, what should I do, Lord? What should I do? And the Lord is very, very good to open your eyes, because he wants you to know, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Now, there's a group that are leading people into what they're calling the third heaven. And I'm going to talk from memory now. I'm not looking at any notes. This group started with William Branham. And William Branham was a minister back in the 50s, when all of the ministers started going into tents, like Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin used to be on that side of the coin until he changed his positions at the end of his life. They were known as the Trinitarians. They believed in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they were distinctly in one. And Branham invented the doctrine called Jesus Only, where Jesus is the Father, Jesus is the Son, and Jesus is the Holy Spirit. But yet, when you read the Word of God, you can find them interacting together on the earth. When Jesus, there's many places, but this one comes to mind. Jesus was being baptized in the water. The Holy Spirit descends as a dove upon him, and God speaks from heaven, "This is my Son." So these are three interacting individuals as one. And so now in the Jesus Only, he taught that Jesus was God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I've only listened to T.D. Jakes just a couple of times to find out, because I was doing articles on him, to find out where he was coming. And just so happened, in the one that I listened to, he said, and Jesus left heaven and left somebody in charge. Because a lot of people don't know, but T.D. Jakes is a Jesus Only guy too. He was raised in United Pentecostal Church, which is Jesus Only. And so when that movement started, Branham started the Jesus Only Church, but he also started the angel coming into his ministry to heal the sick. He said that he could not heal anyone unless the angel was present in the meeting. And he could see into the spirit realms. He could see that angel. And so now coming up into the modern times, where you had Bob Jones, who claims to have been connected to Branham's ministry as a prophet, makes an appearance, back in the 80s, as a prophet. And Bickle people accepted him as a prophet, and he became a prophet to the people that followed the angel movement, and because he followed angels. And so he introduced Emma O to Todd Bentley, which is a fallen angel. But Bob Jones also introduced another very scary doctrine to these people. And it was that he could take them into heaven, into the third heaven where they could see Jesus. And they could see the people that had died before them, and they could see the saints and all of this mishmash. Well, the truth is what he was doing is he was an occultist. He was not really born again. And when you read his testimony and you understand the doctrine of salvation, you'll understand that he was never born again. Well, he was teaching them how to astral project, how to will their spirit to come out of their body and to fly where he said that they were going to go into the third heaven. Well, as I was doing all the research on all of that, the Lord showed me that they were, not coming to the third heaven, because the Bible tells us not to speak to the dead. And they were all having conversations with Peter, Paul, Mary, people that died just days before, and all kinds of things. And the Bible is not going to break the circle of the Word. The Bible is not going to break his law. And if he says, do not speak to the dead, in the Old Testament, he means for us not to talk and do divination to the dead. And so we see from the Word of God that they were not in heaven. When we check what they're saying, they give descriptions of the throne of God. I read of one that went to the third heaven and described the throne of God, and it had all kinds of different things that the Bible doesn't describe as. You know, the Bible describes what the throne of God looks like in the book of Revelation. And so since they don't read the Bible, the devil takes them and shows them a throne and says, this is the throne of God, and they don't know any better. Well, you see, I read the Word of God, and I know better. And so, well, let me not mess around with this much, but he was taking them into the place that God told me, Jesus told me it was the second heaven. And the second heaven is the place just above the earth where the demons live. And Satan has a throne there also. And so what the Lord told me is that whenever the minister will take the person, like Bob Jones, he would take you by the hand. He would tell you, close your eyes, and you would close your eyes, and then he would say, now, we're going to the third heaven. And he said, I'm going. And then a few minutes later, he'd say, well, aren't you coming? I'm already here. And they would say, yes, I'm coming. And as soon as they gave their consent, they would be where he was. And you see, the devil can't take your soul unless you give him your consent. And so what they were doing is, by consent, their human spirit was coming out of their bodies and going to where Bob Jones's human spirit was. Now, I'm going to tell you, they call that in witchcraft astral projection, soul traveling. It's where a wizard wills his soul out of his body, his human spirit, and it's tethered to his body by a silver cord. Oh, that's not the terminology. A silver cord. Yeah, silver cord. And as long as that silver cord is tethered to his spirit, then he can come back into his body. But if they happen to cut the silver cord, just leave it be, they cut the silver cord, then that person dies. Because without the silver cord, body, the body can't live. And so, but Jesus told me that a fallen angel is what returns to those bodies whenever they have gone into that place where they're occultically going. Now, I tell you the truth, we've seen several people like that in Jacksonville. And if you see one, you look into their eyes, and their eyes are dark. They have no light in them, and they're black. And they look and talk like zombies. And so we have actually seen people that have been to the third heaven and returned. So if you want to get involved in that stuff, Jesus told me he'll see you at the judgment gate. Isn't that scary, Dr. Sabrina?
Well, people should learn to reverence the Lord and to obey him. The Bible says that if we love him, we'll obey his commandments, which means his motivation, as far as he sees it, for us to obey him, is love. It's not curiosity.
Yes.
It's love.
Yes.
It's not because we want to do something supernatural. It's loving him. That's what brings us to obedience. And when we obey him, we stay within the provision that he has made for us on earth. And we don't seek to go into strange territory that he's warned us to stay out of.
Right. And see, there's no biblical references at all for them to do what they are doing. There are biblical references that shows that God, Jesus, is the door or the gateway.
That's right.
Or what they're calling the star, the starways.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not any reference where a man can open that door by himself. In fact, Jesus said in a scripture, you might have to look it up, but he said, I am the door, and no man comes to the Father except I open the door. And, you know, it brings another scripture to bear from my memory. And it's the scripture where Jesus was talking about the virgins, I believe. And there were some that tried to climb up. They tried to come, but they didn't have their garments on. Remember that?
They didn't have their lamps filled.
But they didn't have their garments
mm-hmm.
either. You see, when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you get direct your salvation life to Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
you get a new white glittery garment. But there are people that claim to be Christians that don't have their garments on.
Mm-hmm.
And so they climb up trying to get into heaven, that scripture says. So you need to, and I bind this attack in my throat, my voice, in the name of Jesus, and command it to go. So the Bible's true, let every man be a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And we serve God, who is not a man, who cannot lie. Now, Dr. Sabrina, I'm coming up. I'm going to go over and look for our host,
mm-hmm.
Marshall.
Brother
so
Marshall.
If you'll come.
Well, praise the Lord for that wonderful teaching. Let's give God some glory and some praise, saints. Amen. Let's give him some glory and praise.
Turn your speaker
Father,
down,
we just want to thank you for that word tonight. It was a glorious word. You never fail us here. You always come and you teach your people according to the scriptures, and you open our eyes and our hearts. Father, I ask that you just bless everyone, Father, who has given and is giving into the offering. We thank you, Father, that you even touch rich persons. And you tell them to not hang on to their money as if it's an idol or something that would give them promotion or gain or fame or fortune or open doors for them, but to trust in the living God, you said in Timothy. And so, Father, we thank you that no matter where a person is financially at this moment, that you will touch their hearts as you see fit.
and that they will choose to give into the offering and to bless the kingdom of God. We release prosperity, abundant life, and the love of God to them in Jesus' name. Now, everyone, that was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful teaching that everyone should recast. You know, nowadays we're up on Blog Talk Wednesday nights at 7:30 and Friday nights at 7:30 Eastern Daylight Time live. And on the weekends, on Saturday and Sunday, the broadcast is recast again. So you have
7:30, and then there's some that's going to be 11:30.
At 11:30. So you have many opportunities to recast the broadcast now. We did this to expand to people in different time zones that they might have a better opportunity to hear the broadcast and to participate in the worship service. Now, we're only going to be live at our regularly scheduled times of Wednesday night and Friday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time in the United States. But the other times, the broadcast will and the worship service will be recast so that believers all over the world can hear it at a time that's convenient to them. Amen? And isn't God wonderful for giving us that?
And they just go up on Miracle Internet Cafe / Pat Holiday.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord. Now I know you're ready to receive these scriptures. I know you've been waiting. I know you have your pencils and papers or however you take notes, your notepad or your ThinkPad or whatever pad you use, because I'm ready to bless you with them. Amen. Let's start with Psalm 11, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2 through 6, and verse 8 through 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, verse 7 through 9. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 7 through 9. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 4. Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 14 through 17. Psalms, chapter 24, verse 10. Psalms, chapter 46, verse 7 and verse 11. Psalm, chapter 148, verse 2. And here comes this one again. 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 17. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 53 and 54. Revelation, chapter 3, verse 14 through 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 21. Psalm 91, verse 11. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 10. 1 John, chapter 4, verse 4. Joshua, chapter 1, verse 5. Joshua, chapter 23, verse 9 through 10. Psalms, chapter 104, verse 4. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 18 through 19. 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 8 through 9. Genesis, chapter 31, verse 22 through 24, and verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2 through 3, verse 32, verse 47. Psalm 18, verse 2, verse 31, verse 46. And finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. We want to admonish you and encourage you to look the scriptures up, to spend time with the Lord meditating on the scriptures. He will open up many more things to you if you take these scriptures and put them in your heart. You know, the time will come, believers, that we may not have access to our Bibles. You do realize that. As the days draw nigh and darker, there will come a time we won't have access to our Bibles. So it's very important that the word be implanted in our heart, that when we need it, it will come up to us. Amen? We want to encourage you to call in tonight. Our call-in number is area code 805-292-0300, and press 1 to speak with us. Again, that number is area code 805-292-0300, and press 1 so that we can see your hand up and know that you wish to speak with us. We want to encourage those of you who know that you need prayer still, even though you got some prayer earlier, to call in, because yes, you do need some more prayer, and you should call up and get it. Amen? You know that you've had a time walking with the Lord, and it hasn't been so easy for you. Yes, you need some more prayer. So you should call and press 1 so that you can be prayed for tonight. Amen? We have a prayer request already tonight for a sister in Scotland who has to move again. So tonight as we pray, we're going to lift that sister and her situation up before the Lord, and he will move on her behalf. There are many of you that have situations going on in your life or in your family member's life, and you need the intervention of Almighty God. So why sit ye there and die, or suffer, or go through unnecessary affliction, when we can call on the Lord together and see the hand of God move in your circumstances and in your life? It does not matter if we prayed before. There's nothing wrong with praying again, thanking the Lord for what he's already done and what he's doing, and reaffirm our stance in the scriptures. Amen? The Bible says, and I've given you this scripture, that one of us can put 1,000 to flight, but two of us 10,000. Well, there are far more than one or two of us here tonight. So surely you would want whatever circumstance you are facing to come before the Lord tonight while he's in our midst and in our presence, that he might act on your situation, and that the benefits and blessings of Almighty God will become yours in a very tangible way. And so you can give him glory and praise for his faithfulness towards you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's obey the Lord tonight. Why? Because we love him.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Sabrina. I'm looking for our co-host, Brother Marshall.
Good evening, Pat.
Loud and clear. How are you doing, Brother Marshall?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So what do you have to add before we go to calls?
I just think of the last thing that Dr. Sabrina just finished with.
Yes.
And, you know, it's this morning I was reading, I think it was I read Matthew chapter 12. In the last verse, if I can find it quickly enough, Jesus is speaking, and he says, the verse before that, verse 49 of Matthew 12 says, And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. And the last verse says, For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So that's why, you know, we want to do what he asks us to do. And, you know, and I'm thinking about when Jesus was, and it says in the Bible to do everything without murmuring and complaining. But, you know, Jesus did put the Pharisees and Sadducees in their place, if you know what I mean, because he wasn't really, he loved the people, but he really hated those self-righteous spirits that were in them. He didn't like those spirits one little bit. And it's an interesting thing to have your eyes open little by little. But like 1 Samuel 15:22, which I don't have memorized, but, you know, it's basically the bottom line. It says obedience is better than sacrifice. So he wants us to do what he tells us to do. And so when you come across a scripture like I did recently, it reminded me in Ephesians chapter 4, the last verse, this is the Lord's will. Because God forgave me, and boy, did I need it. I want to tell you, I should have been stoned before sundown if I just was sticking under the old covenant. And it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So that's sort of in a nutshell why we have to forgive everybody, not because we want to necessarily. You know, we want to reach out there and get vengeance, you know. But the book says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So we have to leave it in the Lord's hands. And if we're looking for joining together in prayer, I know some believing saints who would like their family members to come into the kingdom a little sooner. They would like the Lord to hasten his word to perform it like he said he would in Jeremiah. And I want to add just a couple little things going off on what you said, Pat. There's a scripture in, you're talking about angels earlier, and about how people get carried away with the angels and all of that. And in Colossians 2:18, he warns us, the scripture warns us, let no man, no matter how religious they seem and how wonderful and everybody's applauding them, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And I've been around a couple of people, and they seem to be very godly, but they've had this unusual emphasis on angels as if they're, I don't know, the jury's out. I've also come across a couple of people who have, he says, you'll know them by their fruit, and they have really good fruit. And one brother in particular I've mentioned a couple of times, Thurman, said he's seen angels intervene on his behalf. And one time he was with his son, and a neighbor's, he lives down in Texas, and a neighbor's bull got into his herd of cows, and they tried everything to get that bull out of there, and they couldn't do it. And the son said, well, we've been at this a long time and bumping around in the field in a pickup truck. We got to get a bunch of horses and men with ropes and get this bull out of here. And then his dad, Thurman, says, oh, but we have help you know not of. And he says, Father, in Jesus' name, send me an angel and take this bull by the scruff of the neck and lead him down there along the fence line, and we'll go over and open the gate, and you take him through the gate, and we'll close the gate in Jesus' name. And that's exactly what happened. All of a sudden, this bull that they couldn't have anything, they couldn't control him at all, all of a sudden his head goes up in the air, and he walks right down the fence line. They walk over, open the gate, which is quite a ways off, open the gate, let the bull through the gate, and lock the gate. And his son said, Dad, this is another one of your harebrained stories. If I hadn't seen it myself, I never would have believed it. So apparently angels do, you know, they're ministering spirits sent to minister for the heirs of salvation, but they only do what the Father tells them to do. But he asked the Father in faith, and I don't remember particularly which verse, but he asked the Father in Jesus' name. He usually bases everything on a scripture. And so I just wanted to throw that out there, that there's a balance, that there are some people that have seen angels. I've seen angels intervene. I didn't see angels. I mean, I didn't see. And by the way, they don't necessarily have to look like you see them depicted in a so-called Christian bookstore with little wings on them and stuff. In fact, over in the Old Testament, it talks about some female things that with wings on, and has spirit of deception. I think it's in Zechariah, is it? I know it's chapter 2, verse 5, something like that. I don't remember which. It's toward the end of the Old Testament. Anyway, but angels don't. Most angels that have been seen in the Scripture, they look like people, just people. And this same man, Thurman, when he was praying for a bunch of people in Cook's Medical Center in Texas many years ago, a month after September 11th, so that's quite a few years ago, he was praying, and there were like 9 babies that were on their deathbed, and he would go in and get the parents to repent of their sins, and then he would pray for the child based on the Scripture and guarantee that the Lord was going to raise that child up, and every single one of them recovered. One had been in the hospital for 2 full years, had never left the hospital since it was born, and went home within 2 weeks. So I just want to say that, but he saw an angel, he saw looked like a man come along with next to him and say, the Lord is well pleased with what you're doing. But then I want to share another scripture, Pat, about, and I know we got to go on, but there's an interesting scripture that might save a lot of people trouble if they actually believe the word instead of believing a man, over in John chapter 3. Most people know John 3, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But there's one in John 3:13, Jesus speaking, no man, Jesus says, hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. That's John 3:13. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. So Jesus is saying, we don't have the opportunity to scoot up there, you know, like he's talking about. And I think the other scripture you were looking at about people trying to break into heaven going in the wrong way is the same chapter in John. Where is that one, Lord? In John chapter 10, when he's talking about he's the door, in the beginning of that chapter, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And I think, I didn't quote that scripture, but I think that's what the Lord used to rescue me, because I was at a church that went to go hear Todd Bentley years ago, and the pastor told me he was going to go hear him, and I just had this little still voice say, don't go. And I just didn't go with them when they went that Wednesday night to the big convention center in Philadelphia. I just didn't go. In fact, I think that might have been the last time I went to that church, because I said, there's something wrong. And then that pastor who went to hear Todd Bentley, he developed a massive heart attack within a week or two after Todd was there. I don't know if he touched him or not, but he developed a massive heart attack, was in the hospital, nearly died, and a bunch of people praying for him, and he did recover. But the Lord doesn't like it when we go after people that are following different spirits.
Amen.
It's true.
You know, Brother Marshall, I've had several occurrences where angels have intervened in my life. And I'm only going to mention one, I think. One was when I was working as a pharmacist. We knew that there was a gentleman that was going to come in with a phony prescription for narcotics. And I can't remember all the details about it right now. But it caused me a little bit of anxiety at the time, even though I had already worked in the prison system and everything. And so when the situation started unfolding, I remember I went back in the corner and I talked to the Lord. And I confessed my anxiety and my fear. And I asked him to do something to help me. So the situation rolled on, and it eventually, you know, took its course. And when it was over, the technician turned to me and she said, where did all those men come from? I said, what men? She said, all those men in those white suits. She said, when it got like this, and she described the situation, all of these men in these white suits showed up. I looked at her, I said, really? And she wasn't. Another occurrence happened when I was out of town in Savannah, Georgia, with a choir that I was with at the time. And it was doing one of their, I think it was Oktoberfest, because I remember it being fall. And it was on a Saturday night. There were a lot of people in the streets celebrating, and some of them quite inebriated. Well, there was this guy down there just on his little keyboard, just singing to the Lord out there. This was his little gig, I guess. And we came by, an entire choir. And I don't remember how it got started, but he encouraged us to sing with him. So our choir director assembled us and allowed us to sing one song. I don't even remember what we sang. We just suddenly started singing whatever he told us to sing. And while we were singing, I heard this. Now, this man was so inebriated that he was hanging off of the young woman that he was with. And he kept going while we were singing, going, wow, look at those angels. Look at their wings. Look at them. They're big. I went, oh, my God. I just had to tune him out and keep singing. I was going to lose my place. But I've had angels intervene in my life several times, come to think of it. It's not predictable, you know. It just sort of happens. But God is faithful to his word. He always does what he promises in his word. The saints do receive the promises of God. We receive the benefits of his grace. Amen?
That's true. Amen. I've had it many times in my life. Dr. Fontaine, and you know the Seminole Trail there, between the Key West and those islands and Tampa. And so she wanted to go that way back to go get over to Tampa. And the guy said, look, don't go down there after dark. That's an Indian reservation. And white people have been known to go through there and never come out the other end. And there's nothing anybody can do because it's their reservation. So we started down that trail, Tamiami Trail. And it started getting dark. And all of a sudden she says, I need to go to the bathroom. And I said, oh, God, we're only halfway through. And we see this trading post. So I just prayed and I said, Lord, let them see men with us. So we get out and she goes to the bathroom and I went in the inside of the trading post. This little girl comes out and she says, my mommy's going to come out in a moment. She said, who are those men with you? I said, what men? She said, in that car, they just drove up behind your car. And I looked out there and there was no car. So Jesus knows how to protect us. It's just that we have to have confidence and faith that he will and can.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, Dr. Brother Marshall, we're going to... we're going to go on with the calls unless you have something more to add.
Oh, yes.
I'm grateful to the Lord the many times he's rescued me. I haven't seen how he's done it, but I do remember quoting Psalm 91, and a huge tree branch didn't go through the roof, and I was right under it when it broke off, and it hung on a little wire over the house all night, over our bedroom. And another time I was in an accident between two trucks and a car. I was in a little teeny compact car between two large trucks, and I didn't even have a scratch. So however he protected me, and it does say, you know, because thou hast made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone, in the middle of Psalm 91. So I'm grateful that however he did it, he's protecting his children. He keeps them. It does say in the book in Corinthians somewhere that we will judge angels someday. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So I don't know if it's just the evil angels or the any. I don't know. if it's our guardian angels, say, hey, what do you think about that?
What it is when you're bonding and loosening and casting out devils, what are you doing? You're judging angels. You're judging fallen angels. Because Jesus is the judge, you know, and the Bible shows that Satan stands before his throne to be judged. And so if Satan's going to be judged at the great judgment seat, so will the angels. But I think that we judge angels when we say, take your hands off of that person, we bind you. That's what I think, but, you know. Well, anyway, here we are. We have bunches of calls tonight. So let's get in it. We're going to ask the people that they're going to have to be mindful that other people are waiting to get on the phone. So give us your request, and if you have a testimony, quickly give it. And we're going to 336 here on the air.
Hello, Pastor Pat. Thank you for the message tonight. Got a testament of God's power and his ability to protect us. Although sometimes we don't want to anything to harm this person, but just briefly, a young man last week I had hired on the job. The situation was that he and I grew up together, and so did the other man. He and I grew up together, and the one that had been working with me for about probably the last couple, 2-3 months, just last week, during our prayer in the morning before we left out to go to work, he broke down and began to cry out to God, and he wanted God to set his feet and plant his feet in gospel. So what happened was I led him through the prayer of repentance, or the Spirit of God did, and allowed me to do that, to be a witness of what God was doing in his life. The other gentleman, I knew that he had been battling alcohol. He went along with us, and he's seen this, but from a distance, he just sort of sat back and watched. After God did a work in Michael's life, Michael began to require a hunger after the Word of God and began to read his Bible several days prior to this incident happen. So the gentleman was looking outside, looking in, and seeing God at work. And he, being the addiction that he had, I knew he had it. He slipped up and had a whatever he did. He went out, and I told him when he come back in to the hotel room that, you know, this is something that we talked about, and it wasn't allowed on the job. So that went about. He was accepted of that. So a couple, 2-3 days later, we were doing a job in someone's house, and me not knowing, the customer give the gentleman a drink, and he come out, and I smelled alcohol in his breath, and so I just kind of wrapped it up. I said we were leaving, and we were going back home after that. I didn't feel like I needed to be compassionate with him, yet stern, to let him know that, you know, certain things are not allowed on the job, and he become very abrasive in his words and begin to just slander and this and that, and he was ready to you know, physical altered. He was ready to fight, and so I just I yielded to the flesh for a second, and I stepped back and I began to ask God, you know, what am I to do here? And I said, let's go, let's get in the truck, let's get back to the room, we'll cash the checks in the morning, we'll go back home. And so when we got back to the hotel room, he went out and come back in, had been drinking quite a bit. And so I just let him go. I let him say whatever he had to say. I merely just told him that, you know, if he wanted to, whatever he wanted to do it. You know, I wasn't going to act out, that I loved him and that I cared for him and that most of all that, you know, God had a plan for his life. And so we get back in and we head back home the next morning, and it was almost like the Lord had his tongue. I mean, he just was simply just not saying anything the whole time. And we get back in and find out the gentleman had been in a head-on collision on a motorcycle and was probably going to lose both of his legs.
Ooh,
and
geez.
He called me that day and wanted to speak with me that day, and I was busy, and I never did get back in touch with him, but I found out the following day that he was in ICU and that was expecting to lose his legs. I went over to his family and talked to them, and of course, you know, they were saddened. But so I went over to the hospital to see him, and I prepared myself for God to use me in any fashion he wanted to do with me, however he wanted to use me. And I couldn't see him. And the following morning, the Lord told me, he said, he's dealing with you. But during that time of the altercation, the things that had happened the night before we went to become, you know, where we're going to be coming home, I had God woke me up about 3:30 in the morning, and he said, do good to those that hate you. And I looked it up in the scripture, and I fell back to sleep, and I had a dream. And during the dream, we were in a ravine stuck up in the truck, and I said, this truck is not coming out of here. And Ricky was on one side and Michael was in front of the truck, and all of a sudden there was a bee that come inside of the cab, and I was swatting the bee trying to get it out, and immediately when the bee left, there was a combine that come out of the woods that was spewing fire, and the wind and the sparks from the fire was just tremendous. And as I looked out of the window, I seen Michael, which the fellow that had received Christ that week, had a covering over him. And all of a sudden, as soon as I looked over to the left, I seen a covering where I could go to, and I went over into that covering, and I stepped into it, and as I looked back, the cab had engulfed flames, and it just engulfed Rick. And immediately the Lord gave me a scripture, and I didn't even know it was in the Bible. It said, the wrath of God shall come upon the children of disobedience. And I looked it up, and it's in Colossians chapter 3. And so God is he's at work, and it's the work of the Spirit of God. It's the work of Christ and his word. All the glory goes to him, because I've got so much that I can share, and I know we don't have a whole lot of time, and I wish and I hope sometime that maybe we can all get together more often, that we'll be able to share more. But I know that there's people waiting to share and for prayer and so forth. But God is just doing so much in my life. And my daughter received Christ yesterday.
Hallelujah.
She received Christ and yesterday, and so much is happening. I mean, obedience is better than sacrifice, and I'm just so overwhelmed sometimes of the power of God, and it's the power of God unto salvation. Least any man shall boast. It's Him. It's He that's doing it. And when we yield our members to Him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service, there's nothing that we can't ask God that He will not do. And if He says if we'll ask, He shall do it. If we ask anything in His name, He shall give it unto us as long as it lines up with His will. And it's His will that none perish, but all come to repentance. And then I got a call about 30 or 45 minutes ago and said, you need to watch the local news tonight because Ricky Smith is going to give his testimony in the hospital on the news tonight. So I don't know what it's going to be about, but I have a inclination that it's that God was dealing with him during this time that he had been in the hospital, and maybe he's going to be able to help other people in this same situation. So it's a ripple effect of what God's doing because of the obedience and the fervent prayer of the righteous man and woman availeth much. I'm seeing the effects of what it really means to abide in Him and He in us, and the practical principle of following Jesus and living a life that's crucified with Christ. To die is to gain, Paul said, and to do these things is such a privilege because God honors those who honor Him. And I'm so delighted to know that I'm part of the kingdom of God and what He has to show us and what it is to come, and you know, eternity forever, and got a lot to look forward to, and thankful for you for standing in the gap for those that are feeble in the spirit and those that have needs, and I just encourage y'all to continue in the faith and stay steadfast and unmovable, and that you be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man, that you may continue to in the faith, that a lot God has in store for those who He's called. Many are called, but few were chosen. So
well,
I think
God
that y'all are a chosen generation. So we're going to press forward.
Thank you
for that wonderful testimony, brother. God bless you. And we'll be back up here Friday?
Wednesday.
And hear what he had to say on TV.
Okay.
Okay, God bless.
Thank you.
Okay. That's wonderful.
Amen.
See, God works supernatural.
Praise the Lord.
361, you're on the air.
Hello, I return again. This is Jennifer Mustin, and I'm calling in for my husband, Matthew Mustin, who I'm still having much difficulty in the struggle of my marriage and my divorce that I'm not wanting. I feel that there needs to be some help to clear out the demonic strongholds of vanity, narcissism, self-righteousness, and the twisted lies that my husband has, you know, perpetuated in his mind I'm still here asking for prayers for everyone who can hear my voice throughout all of the earth here that is listening to this program, to please pray for me and my husband to get past this struggle and this very difficult time. I'm also asking for prayers from all of y'all to please, if you can, help me bind the demons that are causing this strife and causing this destruction to my marriage.
Amen. Brother Marshall.
Father God, we come boldly and joyfully before the throne of grace with our big brother Jesus. We thank you that we can come before you, Father, because of the blood of the covenant. For the Lord's sake, Father God, for Jennifer, for her husband, we ask you to intervene, Father, in Jesus' name. Because of what Jesus did, because of the full price he paid, we thank you, Lord. You said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be sozo and your household. You'll be saved, healed, delivered, preserved, and made whole. Made whole. So, Father, we ask you to deliver, save, make whole. Jennifer and everyone in her household, her husband Matthew, in Jesus' name, and we thank you for hearing our prayers. But first, Father, you said if anyone is lost, it's because their minds are blinded by the God of this world. And so we turn to the accuser of the brethren as we praise and bless you, Father, and in your presence is fullness of joy. And from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians 2:6, Psalm 91, we command you, Satan, to remove every foul and unclean and perverse spirit from everyone in this couple, from affecting this couple in any way, in Jesus' name. Every marriage-breaking spirit, we bind you and cage you in Jesus' name. Every spirit of doubt and unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we bind you in Jesus' name. Every spirit that Jennifer mentioned, we bind you and cage you, cancel your assignments to every member of their family in Jesus' name. And then all be bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name. For you said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, as it is written. And we thank you, Father, for doing so. And Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And Satan, we command you to remove every spirit from each one, and the command to be at no further flow of power, communication from the demons in the second heavens to the demons in the first heavens, pertaining to Matthew and Jennifer, and all those connected related to them from henceforth and forevermore in Jesus' name. And Father, we come back before you. We command every foul spirit to be gone and go where Jesus Christ of Nazareth tells you to go and not return in Jesus' name. Father, we come back before you in praise and honor and reverence and worship you, Father God. We bless you, Father. We thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you'll fully sozo this entire couple, Father God, that you'll sozo not only Jennifer but her husband in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, you said together with God nothing should be impossible. And Jesus said, if two of you on earth agree as touching anything you ask, it shall be done for my Father which is in heaven. Because of the blood of the covenant, Father, we ask you to fully sozo them, Father God. Save, heal, deliver, preserve, and make whole Matthew and Jennifer in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask you to send the Holy Spirit to bring conviction if that's appropriate. Father God, you said no man comes to the Lord Jesus, save you, draw him. So draw Matthew afresh to the Lord Jesus as well as Jennifer in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father God, to send the proper labors, the one that each one can listen to each one, Father, particularly to Matthew, but to each one. Send the proper people to each one that they can actually listen to, Father God. Give them ears to hear, eyes to see, and understanding hearts. And give Matthew a new heart, Father God. You said you would do that over in the Old Testament, help me, Father, remember where exactly. I know it's chapter Ezekiel 36:26. You said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. We ask you to give Matthew a new heart, Father God. And if Jennifer needs one, or anyone else within the sound of my voice needs one, even our family members, Father, for those that we're interceding for, we thank you for that brother who called in with a wonderful testimony how his daughter received the Lord Jesus. And this applies just as well here, because you said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be sozo, you'll be saved, and your household. So we ask you to sozo not only Jennifer, but her husband, and we thank you for doing so. We thank you for giving her that spirit of a meek and quiet spirit in her heart, Father, that she can reflect your glory, reflect your grace, reflect your patience, reflect your great love. Because even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You told us to pray for those who despitefully use us. So we pray for each one that's despitefully used any one of us, including any family member. We ask you to save them, Father. Have mercy on their souls, including Matthew, in Jesus' name. And we ask you to deliver each and every one. Deliver them from all those spirits of unloving, all those spirits of self-hatred, all those spirits of rejection. Deliver them from every unclean and perverse spirit, personally and generationally, in Jesus' name. Because you said in your word, ask, and you shall receive. So we're asking, Father, and we thank you for providing, for this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he heareth us. And if he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desire of him. And this is the confidence that we have in him and the word of God, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he heareth us. And if he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desire of him. And Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And we know it's according to your will. Even as the brother just said earlier, you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We ask you to help all of those, including Matthew and anyone else who needs it, any one of our family members, to come to repentance. And we thank you for doing so, Father, and we give you praise and honor and glory. We thank you for what you've already done in that brother's daughter's life, Father God. We thank you for what you're going to do and what you've already begun in Matthew's life. And we give you praise and honor, and we're all in agreement also according to Matthew 18:19. Because of the blood of the covenant, we know you can't lie, and we thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen?
Amen.
God bless.
Well,
I agree.
I also want to thank all three of you, because without your help, I would not have been able to strengthen my faith in the Lord and to increase my faith in the Lord, and also to have courage and more trust in the Lord's word. So I want to tell all three of you, thank you very much for everything that you do. I am very extremely appreciative of all three of you.
Thank you very much. We love you too. God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay. 973.
Hello, 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 Pat, Sabrina, Marshall. This is Robin.
Hi, Robin.
Hi, Robin.
Okay, I know you guys scrambling for time, so I'm going to give you the short version here. My spiritual armor has somehow been compromised. I do have an idea, but I need confirmation. For the last couple of nights, I've been experiencing sexual attacks in my sleep. And that hasn't happened in a very, very long time.
My goodness.
I'm suspecting it's because I've just recently got in touch with a family member of mine through my mother, because she didn't know anything about this anyways, but he's her brother. And I had to cut my relationship off with him about 2 years ago, because he told me that he had sexual failings towards me, and that's incestual. And I'm trying to actually talk him into coming down to the church to get some deliverance, because he has, I think, the succubus spirit on him, because he confessed to me that when he was a little boy, that he was getting sexually attacked, because people in his family, they were like Eastern stars and stuff like that in his household. So just recently, when I got in touch with him, it was like within a week or 2 weeks' time, I started getting sexually attacked. So I'm calling in for prayer for that.
All right, Robin, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for our sister, and we thank you, Father, that she's grown in her faith and confidence in you to call up and ask for prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, with the sword of the Spirit, we cut Robin free from every ungodly soul tie in the name of Jesus Christ, and we cauterize the ends in Jesus' name. We say that no evil spirit has any place in her. We take authority, dominion, and power over the demons that come down the family line in Jesus' name. We bind them, we cage them, we chain them with eternal chains of darkness in Jesus' name. We sever the soul tie between this family member and Robin in Jesus' name. And we sever the soul tie between this family member and Robin's mother in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for putting that person in a spiritual cage. They're devils in a spiritual cage, that no one else be harmed until such time as that person can be delivered in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority, dominion, and power over the open door. The open door of incest in the family in Jesus' name. Robin has become a born-again believer and has received of your spirit. Jesus Christ became a curse for her, Galatians 3 tells us, Father. So we ask you in the name of Jesus, Father, to remove the curse from her life forevermore and to shut to the open door in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every sexual spirit that entered her in Jesus' name, every marine spirit, every incubus spirit, every succubus spirit, every Asmodeus spirit, every lust spirit, every spirit of incest, every spirit of incest in Jesus' name. You're bound, caged, and chained. We cut you off from the root. We cut off your fruit in Jesus' name. And with the battle axe of the Lord, we hew down the entire tree. Come up and out of her, the entire root system. Everything that entered at conception, bound, caged, and chained, come out of her. Come out of her now in Jesus' name. Sister, I need you to take about 3 deep breaths and cough from your gut. Come on out. Everything. Make yourself microscopic and come out. Every lust spirit transferred in. Every spirit that's not of God that was transferred in, come out now. Bound, caged, and chained. We cut, come out. Don't choke her. Don't hurt her. Make yourself microscopic and come out. Come out now. Leviathan, cut off your 7 heads, your tail. We cut up your parts in Jesus' name. We descale you. We break up your head. Come up and out. Bound, caged, and chained. Everything. Come out of the spine. Come out in Jesus' name. The words that are spoken are spirits. We bind each of those spoken words. Bound, caged, and chained. Come out of her now. Come out of her now. You cannot go back. You must come out. Everything she heard, come out. Every spirit that entered in, fear, terror, come out now in Jesus' name. Harassment, every sexual harassment and tormenting devil, we bind, caged, and chained you. Spiritual dreams that are not of God, bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name. Hovering over her as she sleeps, bound, caged, and chained. Every open door closed in the name of Jesus Christ, and gatekeepers bound, caged, and chained, come up and out of the name of Jesus Christ. Every witch, warlock, sorcerer, diviner, or the like that had anything to do with it, queen of the coast, you're bound in Jesus' name. Every spirit from under the deep, bound, caged, and chained, come out in Jesus' name. You cannot remain. Every cobra spirit, bound, caged, and chained, come out in Jesus' name. Down in the belly, come out in Jesus' name. Father, every spirit, the silent observers, bound, caged, you come out in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that you lower the gate between the conscious and the subconscious, and we pull out the core, the entire core, bound, caged, and chained. You come out now in Jesus' name. Out, double-mindedness, you come out in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Religious spirit, bound, caged, and chained. Come out, bound, caged, and chained in Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. The sexual master spirit, bound, caged, and chained, you come out. You came down the line. You come out in Jesus. Yeah, you come out. You've been talking about that in your family. Sexual confusion, bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name. Sexual disorientation, out in Jesus' name. Irreverence for the Spirit of God, bound, caged, and chained, come out in Jesus' name. You've been running down the family line. Father, all those, that's it. All those family spirits, Father, I ask you to capture them now in one mass. Bind them and chain them with everlasting cords and cast them out in Jesus' name. You are cast out with the finger of God. Come out now in Jesus' name. You cannot remain. Call down holy fire on each of you now. Come on out. All in the mind, in the touch, in the smell, in the memory, out of her cells, even the memories of such, come out in Jesus' name. The memories of such, come out of the cells, come out of all of her cells in Jesus' name. Every perverse spirit, the memory. three of you, come out in Jesus' name. First spirit, every unclean, come out in Jesus' name. Every pipe, bound, caged, and chained, come out in Jesus' name. Straight spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Non-trust spirits, bound, caged, and chained. Unloving spirits, bound, caged, and chained. All of you, come out of her from the roof. Unacceptable, bound, caged, and chained. She's been made acceptable in the pulpit. Come out in Jesus' name. Rejection, the root of rejection, bound, caged, and chained. We cut you off from the root. We cut off all of your fruit. And with the baptism, Lord, you down the entire tree system. Come up and out. All rejection, all intolerance, bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. All rejection spirit. All spirits of technology control, bound, caged, and chained. All bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name. All mandatory effects, bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. Every bit of mind control, all, every, each, and every time. We sever the communication in the second from the spirits on the earth. Mind control spirits, bound, caged, and chained. Come on. All mind control. Past, present, come out in Jesus' name. All mind control. All of the stems, the branches, every pre-programming, bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. All pre-programming, bound, caged, and chained. All the manipulators, bound, caged, and chained. All the puppet master, bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. From the roof. Out in Jesus' name. Every manipulator and puppet master, bound, caged, and chained. Every watcher, every peeper, every mutterer, bound, caged, and chained. Spy spirit, bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name. Every occultic spirit, bound, caged, and chained. Baphomet, bound, caged, and chained. Every occultic. Another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, bound, caged, and chained. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Every spirit named and not named, every assignment is now canceled in the name of Jesus Christ. Cat spirit, we cut off your ley lines and your silver cords. Come out. All those familiar spirits, bound, caged, chained, close to them. Come on out. All out. Come out. We find the spirit that sends animals across our path in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. Spirits that attack during the sleep. Spirits that attack. Spirits that attack technology. Bound, caged, and chained. Come out. Come out the cell phone. Bound, caged, and chained. Out. Sister, I need you to renounce everything I've called out of you. Say, Father.
Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I denounce and renounce.
I denounce and renounce.
All of the spirits that have been called out of me.
All of the spirits that have been called out of me.
I thank you, Jesus Christ.
I thank you, Jesus Christ.
That you are my deliverer always.
That you are my deliverer always.
And I thank you, Father.
And I thank you, Father.
For sending the Lord to me.
For sending the Lord to me.
To baptize me afresh in the Holy Spirit.
To baptize me afresh in the Holy Spirit.
And with holy fire.
And with holy fire.
I give you praise.
I give you praise.
My only allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his kingdom.
My only allegiance is to Jesus Christ and only to his kingdom.
Now, Father, fill me. I give you praise.
Now, Father, fill me. I give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering me tonight. Thank you, Father, for removing all of the demonic possession that has been plaguing me for the last couple of weeks. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I praise you and I give you glory. I glorify your name. Lord Jehovah, Lord of hosts, and Jesus Christ, Lord of righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise and all the glory, Almighty God, Almighty King. I praise you. I glorify you. I glorify your name. I praise you. And I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love Jesus with all my heart, mind, and soul. I love you with all my heart, mind, and soul. I praise you, Jesus. I glorify you, Jesus. I glorify you, Jesus. I praise you. I love you with all my heart. In Jesus' name. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
Father, I thank you for filling this sister, filling all those empty places with your spirit and burning out the rest of those spirits with holy fire. Jesus, we thank you and we give you praise, Lord, for your mighty power. Thank you, Lord. You don't need to have any more conversations with that person that the Holy Spirit doesn't prompt you to have. And when you do, you have to put up your shield of faith. You have to bind the spirits that are in that person before the conversation begins.
Okay.
All right. That means conversation is only to take place as prompted by the Holy Spirit. And then you have to bind and cage and chain those spirits before the conversation begins.
Okay.
All right. The word, play scriptures over you, take communion, and fast, my sister.
Yeah.
All right. God bless, and
thank
call
you.
Us again. You're all welcome. God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 770, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Pat. Just calling in for more deliverance. I called in Wednesday, and I just actually felt worse afterwards. I was angry. I felt like angry or something, like I didn't want to talk to people or something. I don't know. I tried to fast today. I did really good probably for the first 6 hours. I don't know. It's just been rough.
Yeah.
All right. Say, Father.
Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I surrender to you.
I surrender to you.
All of my anger.
All of my anger.
And the root thereof.
And the root thereof.
And the cause thereof.
And the cause thereof.
I forgive.
I forgive.
Every person.
Every person.
Every situation.
Every situation.
Myself.
Myself.
You.
You.
And the course of my life.
And the course of my life.
Now, right now, inside, just between you and God, I want you to name the people that you're forgiving.
Then name them in your mind.
Mhm. Mhm. And situations.
And you talk so we won't have dead air.
Mhm. Now, Father.
No, Father.
I release all of this to you now.
I release all this to you now.
I repent of replaying these situations over and over in my mind.
I repent of replaying these situations over and over in my mind.
And dwelling on them.
And dwelling on them.
And allowing anger to come forth in me once again.
And allowing anger to come forth in me once again.
I thank you for deliverance.
I thank you for deliverance.
Because deliverance is the children's bread.
Because deliverance is the children's bread.
So tonight, Father.
I exchange
my emotional life.
I exchange my emotional life.
For your peace.
For your peace.
Jesus was bruised and wounded for my peace.
Jesus was bruised and wounded for my peace.
Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority, dominion, and power over every circumstance, every situation from conception until this moment that has caused grief, pain, suffering, harm, hurt, damage of any kind to my sister. We bind it up and the root thereof. With the sword of the Spirit, we cut her free from the root and from the fruit in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of pride. We bind Leviathan. We cut off his head. We descale him. We cut off his tails. We cut off his seven heads in Jesus' name. We break his power in her life. We bind him and cage him and command him to come up and out of her now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come up and out. Leviathan, you... Yeah, you're there. Come on out. Come out. Kundalini, bound, caged, and chained, come out of the spine. We cut you to... We bind up each of your bits and cage them in Jesus' name. Bind all hopelessness, all depression, every lie of the enemy has been believed. Bound, caged, and chained, come out in Jesus' name. We bind and cage the spirit of death in the name of Jesus. We bind and cage suicide and all forms of and come up and out in the name of Jesus. All that anger, all that hostility, all that revenge, all that hatred, all that murder, bound, caged, out in Jesus' name. Come out from the root. Come out. You cannot remain in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Everything that's not named, come out. Everything that's back in the psyche has not come forth. We bind you, cage you, and chain you. Come out of the subconscious now in Jesus' name. All shame and guilt, bound, caged, come out. All shame, all unworthy. Bound, caged, and chained. All spirits of rejection, bound, caged, and chained. All double-mindedness, all multiple bound, caged, and chained. All spirits of rejection, bound, caged, and chained. Come out. Every spirit of self-rejection, every spirit of come out in Jesus' name. Every spirit says I'm not good enough to come back to Jesus, bound, caged, and chained. He won't take me back because of what I've done, bound, caged, and chained. Every deception, come out in Jesus' name. All times worse spirits that have they're entered, come out now in Jesus' name. All the seven extra devils, come on out, all of you. All of you, come on out. All of you come out together now in the name of Jesus. But will he take me back in chains? The scriptures declare that those who come to Jesus, he will in no wise cast aside. Come on. Come on out. All of you in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name. Every spirit out the word, bound, caged, and chained, come on out in Jesus' name. Every spirit not believe the word of God. Come on out. Bound, caged, and chained. The Bible says with open arms he receives us. With loving kindness he receives us. Bound, caged, and chained. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Jesus, love me. I'm too terrible. Bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. Every spirit of self-hate, self-rejection, bound, caged, and chained. Bruised ego, bound, caged and chained. Low self-esteem, come out in Jesus' name. I'm just a worm, bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. I'm just trash. I'm nothing. I keep failing God, bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. I keep failing God over and over. I just keep failing, bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. Can't hold on to her. In Jesus' name. All insecurity spirits, bound, caged, and chained. All instability. Any spirit that blocks her peace and her joy, bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. all those intellectual spirits, all those skeptical spirits, bound, caged, and chained, all the spirits that the opinions of others, especially the opinions of Christians, bound, caged, and chained, every manifestation of fear, chained. Every spirit of slavery to demonic pleasures, bound, caged, and chained, come out. All those religious spirits that fake being right when you're wrong, bound, caged, and chained. Refuse the conviction of the Holy Spirit, bound, caged, and chained, come out in Jesus' name. Worldliness, caged, and chained. Love of the world, bound, caged, and chained, come out of her in Jesus' name. The spirit of legion we call out now, bound, cage, and chain, all of you. We sever you forevermore in the name of Jesus with the sword of the spirit. Come out now in Jesus' name. Every trauma spirit, accidents, violence, frights, threats, rapes of any kind, come on out. Fearful of ships with family members, bound, caged, and chained. Come out. Come on out. Every spirit of infirmity as a result of sin and fear, bound, caged, and chained. Every spirit of infirmity, come out of the heart muscles right now in Jesus' name. The heart. Come out. Come on out. Every spirit of infirmity, come out of the bloodstream. Come out of the blood valves. Come on out. Come out of the arteries and veins. Come on out. Every spirit, come on. The life is in the flesh. Come on. The life of the flesh is in. Come on out. We see you. We see you. Come out. Make yourself microscopic and come out. All those deaf spirits trying to hang up in the blood. Come on out. Bound, cage, and chain. Spirits. Bound, cage, and chain. In Jesus' name.
Nothing can stay.
Nothing. Every infirm spirit whose name I have not called, you are now bound, caged, and chained. We cut you off from your fruit. Come out now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of affliction, bound, caged, and chained, come out now. All you afflicting spirits, come on out.
And there's a black cloud over her, and we drive it away. Just a black cloud.
Father, we take authority, dominion, and power over this black cloud over our sister in the name of Jesus. We drive it back to where it came from in the name of Jesus, and we forbid it to ever return to or to her family members in Jesus' name. We release the life of Jesus Christ, the joy and the peace that comes from Jesus Christ into our sister. We thank you, Lord. We bind all panic, all psychiatric disorders, bound, caged, and chained. Every disease of the mind, come out. Come on out now. Come on down. Come on, you're a familiar spirit. All those diseases of the mind, bound, caged, and chained, come out of her. Come out of her. Come on out. Don't torment her. Come out now in Jesus' name. Every disease of the mind, come out now. Insanity, bound, caged, and chained, come out of her now. The rest of you that are listening, get deliverance. All those diseases, named and not named, come on out, bound, caged, and chained. With the sword of the spirit, we cut you off from her. We sever you off from her forever. Come out of her. Root and fruit, come on out. Every disease of the mind, every disease of the soul, come out. Come out of her mind, come out of her will, come out of her imagination, come out of her emotions. Come out of her psyche. Come on out in Jesus' name. All brain damage is bound in Jesus' name. We release health and healing to the in Jesus' name and to her brain in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for filling our sister with the Holy Spirit and with the Holy Fire, especially all those places that were emptied out, Father. We thank you for restoring her and restoring her faith in you, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for times of refreshing coming to our sister in Jesus' name. We thank you for healing of her inward parts, Father, in the name, excuse me, of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the new liberty that she will receive in Jesus Christ, and that she will walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. We bind the works of the flesh in her life, and we set her free from them. We break the cage, and we set the captive free now, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything you will do. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind all spirits of poverty. We bind every curse, and we ask you to take it out of the way. We bind all afflictions that come that manifest themselves financially in Jesus' name. And we ask you, Father, to open a job for our sister, to prepare her for it, and to set her hands to it, and to bless her hands in that place of work. We thank you for releasing favor with God and with man to her, Father, that when she goes to participate or to receive that blessing, that people will see that she is blessed of God, and that they will open the door to her, Father, and receive her warmly in Jesus' name. We thank you for... Oh, we thank you for the release of financial blessings to our sister coming from the north, south, east, and west in Jesus' name. We thank you for filling up her cup, storehouse, and her basket with much, Father, in Jesus' name. We release plenty to our sister in Jesus' name, spiritual abundance and physical abundance in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Marshall, do you have anything for her?
Yeah, in Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 9, I just want to pray for you. According to the word of the living God, I desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will, the Lord's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Father, for delivering this sister and each one of us. Thank you for that blood of Christ, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I plead and sprinkle the blood of Jesus over you, sister. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, you said I will be a wall of fire round about in the glory in the midst by the power of your spirit. I thank you for protecting her. I thank you for giving your angels charge over, guardian angels, warring angels, all necessary and beneficial angels to protect her continually. I plead that blood of Jesus as a wall of fire round about you in the glory in the midst. And we thank you, Lord, for your glory for a defense. And sister, I want to encourage you to read just two little verses in Isaiah chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Isaiah 4:4, so verses 4 and 5. Just read them, when you have time. Just pick up your Bible. I'm assuming you got a Bible. Just read those two verses out loud, because he promises the glory for a defense. He's going to protect you because he purchased you with his blood. And his blood is well able to protect you from every ungodly thought. Amen?
Amen.
And you might continue to get some deliverance. Just continue to cough when you get the urge and say, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and let the Word of God play over you. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye. Okay. 518. You're on the air.
Blessings. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
It's Peter. I just want to touch an agreement in prayer. I'm vowing to send $100 to you guys. I'll send that to you. And I spoke with Henry Groover today and spoke about your ministry and the Lord working through you. And we discussed about occupying. And I just pray to see to be more sensitive to the Lord, and I need to press in more on the Word. And I'm working out at a gym that there was a French person. I've been to France a bunch of times, and I said something in French that was impolite, and I think I offended this person. And And it wasn't, it was not a nice thing. And I don't know, maybe it's a little deliverance of anything French. But I saw a girl that I went out with in high school, I think, like after high school a little bit, and I went through some of my life. I wrote down a bunch of people that I want to, in my prayers, I saw the sword of the Spirit sever the roots and the trunk and everything of some people in my life, my kung fu teacher. And I made a fire and I was burning some stuff and cleaning the yard up, and I burned some books that I had on weightlifting and stuff from this old teacher that was really, I had a lot of unforgiveness and stuff with this gentleman. He says he's a Christian. I pray that he is, but I don't feel that in my... From what I saw, he wasn't a Christian.
I want you to say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I renounce martial arts.
I renounce martial arts.
And all of the things that I was engaged concerning violence.
All the things I was engaged with concerning violence.
What about computer games?
I had played, when I was injured, I had 1,000 pounds of plywood fall on me in 1998 and separate both my shoulders and herniate discs, and the Lord's restored me. But, during this period of time, I played a lot of, first person shooter games where you're, you know, and the Lord, I think we talked on the phone and I explained how the Lord, put fire on the screen and showed an island of an isolated person and then shut the computer off, and the Lord revealed himself to me.
Good.
And I just dropped on the floor crying. That
okay. We take authority over all of the mind control that was received while playing these computer games.
Mm-hmm.
We bind up the controllers.
Yeah.
We command the spirit of fear to be bound, and all that trauma spirit to be bound, and I command that subconscious mind to open, and I command all of those spirits that's hiding in there to come out,
yeah.
Every one of them.
In Jesus' name.
Arts and meditation, Eastern religion,
and the
Kundalini,
behind them.
And every God behind them in the name of Jesus. Disconnecting master, and we command that master thing to shut down. It can have no effect. We bind all the codes in Jesus' name, the triggers, and we erase them from his mind, even concerning when he talks on the television, I mean the cell phone.
And the puppet master and the silent observers.
Yeah, go ahead.
And we cut him off, Father, from the silent observers, from the puppet masters, from the manipulators, from the controllers, from the deceivers, in Jesus' name, and all of their agents.
Ooh.
We bind them. Come on, all those agents, come on out. All those agents that were sit in to watch his life so that you can trip him up so that he'll fall in Christ and fall back. No, you won't pull him back. Come on out, all of you. Everyone. All the parlay voodoo devils, bound, caged, and chained, come out in Jesus' name. Come out of the mystery of his cells right now, bound, caged, and chained. Come up and out. Up and out, and make yourself microphone. Every bound, caged, and chained. Thank you that the blood of Jesus erases dead works from our conscience. Come on.
I've been through a lot of deliverance tonight through the other prayers you guys were, I was burping like gangbusters here. Praise God.
Well, now take a deep breath and breathe the Holy Spirit in to fill
Holy
all of
fire.
Those empty places.
Holy fire.
We should close all of those doors. They can never return. The spirits go into the cage, and Lord, send your warring angels to take them to your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Lord, send as many angels as Peter needs to defend and to protect him.
In Jesus' name.
Brother Marshall, take a deep breath and fill with the Holy Spirit as Brother Marshall comes.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise and glory to you, my Lord, my Savior. Father God, thank you. Oh, praise. Oh, thank you for your mercy and your love and your presence, Lord Jesus. I seek you, Lord. I cling to you, my Lord. Thank you for your healing, your peace, your love. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for all the body of Christ, Lord. We pray strength for all of them, Lord. And thank you for your healing, Lord. Thank you for your healing.
Brother Marsha, before you come a second, I have a comment for everyone. There are some of you that have this tendency to wane when it comes to coming up on listening to the worship service and participating in the worship service. You'll come for a season and then you disappear. And then you'll come back for a season when it's convenient to you and then you'll disappear. If you would develop consistency in that area, coming up to listen to the broadcast, to look up the scriptures, and to recast, you would find that you have fewer problems in Christ. Amen? You won't find yourself falling away. You won't find yourself being caught up in some other stuff. If you will just stay with it, there is an anointing here to keep you free if you will stay with it. Amen?
Okay, Brother Mark, you have a scripture in for him.
Thank you, Lord. Well, Peter, the Lord bless you and keep you as only he can. And I just want to remind you of 1 Timothy 4:8. And there's nothing wrong with exercise, but it says in 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness, which is when we do what he wants us to do and take on his character, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. So it isn't just for the by and by, it's for the here and now too. And he wants to bless you. And so, you know, even as you said, just spend more time with him, and he'll bless you abundantly, because that's what he wants. He wants you to be seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. It isn't a one-shot deal. It's a every day, continually drawing near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
I won't use working out as an idol, but with all the injuries that I've had in my past, I praise God that I'm feeling healthier than I've ever felt before.
Well, pray for me, Peter. I'm supposed to work out, and I just don't want to. Bye-bye.
Walking like Steve Reeves, you just do a little power walk.
Okay. Bye-bye.
She can do that.
If my mouth would do it, I'd be okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. We've got 347 coming up.
Good evening.
This is I had a prayer request, but I also wanted to thank you for last week's scripture reading. I learned a lot from it, and it really kept me on point. And actually started taking the scriptures very seriously, because I used not to, because I thought I read the Bible. When I read it, really on track, and it keeps me like in the reality of the time we're in, and I get the message of the Lord more clearly. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have a prayer request for my mother and my sister, for the Lord to save them, and just them in the path of righteousness. Amen. And I did receive a when you were praying for the brothers and sisters that you prayed for. But I also want to keep lifting up my prayer requests unto the Lord for healing and for the Lord to keep leading me in his path. I don't think I can ever ask too much from the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Brother Marshall.
Well, thank you, Father, for Cassia. We thank you for all that you're doing with her, Lord. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to guide her into all truth and to teach her. We thank you for never leaving her nor forsaking her. We thank you, Lord, for giving your angels charge over her continually, and not just her alone, but her entire extended family, including her mother and her sister. We thank you, Father, for sending the Holy Spirit to draw them to the Lord Jesus afresh, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for bringing conviction by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for sending the proper labors to each one. We ask you to do so in agreement, according to Matthew 18:19. Even as we prayed for Jennifer and her husband, Matthew, you said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved and your household. We ask that for everyone who's listening and will be listening, Father God, that you bring all their family members in, even as that brother gave a wonderful testimony early on this evening about how his daughter came to the Lord. And we thank you for doing a great work in that man's life. And we thank you that you're no respecter of persons. What you've done for one, you'll do for another. You said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. For the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. And we know it's according to your will, for God will have all men to be saved. We know that's what you want. You want everyone to be fully saved. Sozo, actually. Saved, healed, delivered, preserved, and made whole. We ask you to do that for Cassia, for her mother, and for her sister in Jesus' name. We thank you for raising us up together with Christ Jesus, and from our position seated in heavenly places, we command you, Satan, to remove every spirit of doubt and unbelief from Cassia's mother and sister right now in Jesus' name. For now is the day of salvation, as it is written, in Jesus' name. And we command there be no further flow of power communication from the demons in the heavens to the demons on earth in Jesus' name, because of the blood of the covenant in Jesus' name, as we're seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies in Jesus' name. Get thee hence, Satan, every foul spirit, in Jesus' name. Go where Jesus Christ of Nazareth tells you to go, in Jesus' name. We give you praise and honor, Father. We worship and praise you, Father. We thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you for sending your word and not only healing Cassia, but guiding her and teaching her, instructing her. You said, all of my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my children. We thank you for teaching. We thank you. You paid a huge price for Cassia's peace. You shed your blood. You made peace by the blood of your cross. You took her punishments in her place. You took her rejection. You took her loneliness. You took it all. You were despised and rejected, Lord Jesus, so Cassia could be accepted in the Beloved. We thank you that you took it all in her place, and we thank you. You took her shame so she can receive your acceptance, and we thank you for taking it all, Lord Jesus. We thank you for taking the spitting, the rejection. We thank you for taking it all, that she is a delight to you, Lord. You made her a delightsome daughter, and we thank you for doing so. We thank you for engraving her name in the palms of your hand, Lord Jesus. We thank you for keeping her as the apple of your eye. We give you praise and honor. We thank you for giving your angels charge over, including the angel of the Lord, that encamps round about them, that fears them and delivers them. Thank you for doing so, Lord. We give you praise for doing so. And not only her, but her entire family, in Jesus' name, and we're all in agreement. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you.
We got
a prayer. We got two more calls. Four, six, nine. We have 2 minutes and 7 minutes. Hello?
Okay, yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm calling in behalf of my son. Last time I talked with you guys was about a week ago, and he had just gotten into a fist fight where he defended the honor of a girl, got himself all bloodied up a little bit. But what I want prayer for is the young lady that he defended. She's been into all kinds of problems, and I had called in for her for prayer for her. She'd been in drugs, and one thing that I've seen a pattern with her since I've known her for about a year, that she changes boyfriends like other people change underwear. Well, since my son defended her honor, she decided that she told him that she likes him, and he was very flattered by that. And I also know that the mother of this young lady has been encouraging them to date for about a year, and they haven't. With friends. Well, this is happening apparently now where they want a date, and I think it's just about the worst thing because she's been involved with so many different people. I don't think necessarily sexual, but I don't know for sure. But, you know, she's been involved with some people that have given her a lot of problems, and she's picked up a lot of bad spirits through her relationships. I would like to have prayer for my kids.
Okay, we got the picture. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind the influence over this young man. And, Father, if that's not your will, we separate them with the blood of Jesus. We bind all witchcraft powers of mothers, that mother interfering and trying to arrange things. Father, in the name of Jesus, we put your hedge of protection around this young man. And we ask to send as many warring angels as you can to protect him in Jesus' name and defend him. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. God bless.
Okay.
Thank you.
We've got one more call and 4 minutes, Father Marshall. 2:50.
And then some prayer requests.
Hello.
Hi, it's Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Marshall. Hi, Sabrina.
Hi.
I'm wondering if Sabrina can do some prayer for me. I've been doing quite a bit of battle and fasting for several days.
Yes.
And it's just getting more intense.
Keep your eyes on Jesus and not the devil.
Okay, Father.
Well, that's where it is.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Marshall, I need you to look the scripture up for me. It says, mark the perfect man, because the end of that man is peace. Wherever that scripture is, I need you to look it up for me. Father, in the name of Jesus, from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we take authority, dominion, and power over every spirit that is hindering peace in our sister in Jesus' name. We war against it, Father. We resist it. We bind it. We cage it. We chain it. We send it back from whence it came, and the warfare that it does against her, we send back against the spirit itself, sevenfold in Jesus' name. We command every spirit that has warred against the peace coming forth in our sister to come out of her now. Come out now. All that extra warfare that she gets from all those varying sources, we send back against the spirit that brings it in Jesus' name. We bind you, we cage you, we chain you in the name of Jesus Christ. We sever her, cut her, and free her from every ungodly influence and source in Jesus' name. We cut off all ley lines and silver cords in the name of Jesus Christ. We sever and push away from her every vortex in the name of Jesus Christ. We cut off every ungodly soul tie in the name of Jesus Christ. We cut off every ungodly connection in the name of Jesus Christ. And we surround our sister with the blood of Jesus Christ. We encapsulate her in the blood of Jesus Christ. We encapsulate every thought in her entire mind, her will, her emotions, her psyche, her soul, in the blood of Jesus. Every spirit that is not of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are now bound, caged, and chained. Come out from the root. Come out of her. Come out of her now. Come out of her mind. Come out of her heart. Ura kasarabri. Come out of the seat of her emotions now in Jesus' name. Come out. Every tormentor bound, caged, and chained. Every spirit that has unda recitarabri. Unda rabrosa ki andarebri sheki. I arrest the demons that have come to torture her now in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask you to close every open door, every evil door, to shut it closed. You close a door that no man can. Thank you, and we give you praise. Father, we also lift up to you the sister with the husband there on the couch. You know what his situation and what hers is. We bind the demons operating. We bind Asmodeus and Osmodeus. We bind dry alcoholism in Jesus' name. We bind the dry drunk in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind fear, worry, and schizophrenia in that situation in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, that you directly intervene and set the captive free in the name of Jesus. We put the blood of Jesus between this sister and her spouse, and we forbid their demons to walk in agreement in Jesus' name. We ask that sister to call up on Wednesday night and receive prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the establishment of your peace in that home. We bind every demonic spirit in that home. We cage it and chain it in Jesus' name. Now, Father, all those evil spirits around Sherry's locale, all those demons that Urakisa, we cut off every technology spirit now in Jesus' name. Every spirit that comes in through the technology, bound, caged, and chained. Father, we also lift up to you all the prayer requests from tonight. You know what they are. We thank you for your divine. Find the demons that are contrary to your will in Jesus' name. Every technology spirit, everything coming through the phone, through the computer, everything through it, via technology, coming from the satellites, bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name. We sever the communication between the second heaven and the first with the sword of the Spirit in Jesus' name. And we bind, cage, and chains the powers, rulers, and principalities that war against her soul in Jesus' name. Every spirit that wars against her, we bind, cage, and chain in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on up and out. Father, we ask that you fill our sister and fill all those empty places with the Holy Spirit and holy fire in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, and we exalt you as her deliverer in Jesus' name.
And we close those doors, and we bind her mind that thinks about demons coming to attack her all the time. I command the spirit that talks to her mind to get out, and I gag it with the blood of Jesus. And Father God, I ask that you draw Sherry to begin to see you and your power instead of the demonic powers. You're more power than all of the demons that she's ever known. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you open up your Bible to her and her mind to understand spiritual things. Every new age god is bound and must leave, and I forbid them to return. Every witch, wizard, psychic that's working against her, these things that they're doing explode back sevenfold.
In Jesus'
name. And Father
name.
God, we put your hedge of protection around her and as many angels that she needs for her divine protection. And we ask you to fill her with the Holy Spirit. Just take a deep breath and fill up the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Deep breath. Holy Spirit and fire is coming in now.
In Jesus'
name. Holy fire. Holy Spirit, fill those empty places, all of them, and we bind all of the things that make her sensitive, her flesh sensitive, so that she feels that the demons are working on her. We ask you, God, that you surround her and protect her, as your word says, you should be, in Jesus' name. Call us back Wednesday, Sherry, and let the word come.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And Brother Sherry, here's this verse Dr. Sabrina had
okay.
for you. It was in,
Mark the perfect
it was in
man.
Psalm 37, verse 37. Psalm 37, 37. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. That's who Jesus
Thank
is.
You.
He is the Prince of Peace. Amen?
Thank you.
And,
thank
and
you.
Lord,
Amen.
I ask that you give Sherry a special spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open her spiritual eyes, Lord. Help her to understand how you protect her by the blood of the covenant. In Jesus' name, and I thank you for doing so, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're talking
thank
to you.
Thank you.
Brother Marshall, take us off the air in prayer and continue to pray for the situation. And we pray for the minds of the men and the women behind the behind the puppets. And we cover them with the blood of Jesus and release judgment on them. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Marshall. And we bind the list
Father.
Of watchers in Jesus' name. Go ahead.
Yes.
We bind all ungodly listeners and watchers in Jesus' name, put gags in their mouths in Jesus' name because of the blood of the covenant. We thank you, Jesus. You took our cup of cursing. We received your cup of blessing. And as we receive your cup of blessing, all the curses are canceled, severed, and nullified. Every ungodly curse is canceled, severed, and nullified. Every ungodly spirit is bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name. And every spirit of backlash, every spirit of retaliation is returned sevenfold with continual repetitions to those that send them. Coming against Blog Talk Radio, Dr. Holliday, Dr. Sabrina, myself, or any family member, and every member of the body of Christ having anything to do with Blog Talk Radio in Jesus' name, with Dr. Holliday in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Jesus, for protecting us by the power of your blood covenant. We thank you, Lord. We plead and sprinkle the blood of Jesus over each one of us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten from the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Glory and dominion to you, Heavenly Father, forever and ever. And glory and dominion to you, King Jesus, forever and ever. We thank you for redeeming us. We thank you for purchasing us with your own blood, with the blood of God. And we thank you, Father, for raising us up together with Christ Jesus, that we're seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. And from our position seated in heavenly places, we bind, cage, and chain every ungodly spirit seeking to kill, steal, and destroy, coming against all those who are and will be members of the body of Christ and all those coming into the body of Christ, and not just in the United States of America, but all around the globe, in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask for your protection, additional angels, guardian angels, warring angels, all necessary and beneficial angels to watch over and protect and deliver us. You said, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be delivered. And we call upon your name because of the blood of the covenant. We ask you to deliver us all in Jesus' name. And we thank you for doing so. We thank you for the angel of the Lord that encampeth round about them, that fears him and delivers them. And we have a holy reverence for you, King Jesus. We know that each and every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday and have to give a reason for all those words that we've spoken, all those things that we've done. Help us and quicken us by the power of your Spirit to do exactly what you want, the way you want, because we want to, because you loved us first, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for those ungodly spirits seeking to cause harm, particularly in the United States of America, every one of those behind the puppets, in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus over their minds, Father God. We speak confusion to the enemy's camp in Jesus' name, division and confusion to the enemy's camp. And Father God, for those that will not repent, Father God, we ask, because we know it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, that you deal with them as you see fit, Father God, in your perfect time frame, in Jesus' name. And we know that vengeance is mine. You said, I will repay. It is a very fearful thing to fall into your hands, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for all those prayer requests, even as Dr. Sabrina mentioned, particularly the sister in Scotland. We ask you to make a way where there seems to be no way. Open the doors that you want open, close the doors you want closed, in Jesus' name. And not just for her, but every member of the body of Christ that needs to be in the right place that you want them to be in Jesus' name. And we're all in agreement for all these things, because you said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for my Father which is in heaven. Because of the blood of the covenant, we thank you, Father, for doing so, in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Thank you, Brother Marshall, and God bless you. And we'll see you Wednesday.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
And know that God loves you.
And we love you too.
I love you, Marshall.
I
don't know.
I love you, Dr. Sabrina.
I do.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And I put the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth on each member of the body of Christ. He says, and all their family members, and he said, and I will bless them. And we thank you, Lord, for
how you loved me so much that you died on Calvary.
Bless you, praise you.
And though I quenched you way back then,
thank you.
Almighty,
Jesus.